Okay, we're on page Kuf Pei Dalid, third paragraph. We discussed the idea of the concept of Torah is the primary revelation of God's Shekhinah in this world. But it's not just a good thing to do, but it is that which brings the essence of Hashem into our lives. And he says, this is something that really a person cannot do on their own. It's not possible to draw this down on their own, but rather it's something that you're gifted, and you're gifted by being that mirror that is able to reflect godliness, and you become that mirror through the attribute of humility. That's why Moshe was the one who brought the Torah down to this world. Then the Rebbe explained some great stories of the Gemara, where great tzaddikim would just forget things in Torah. And how could it be that they could forget Torah even though they knew it? So then he explains, it depends on the type of Talmud Chachim you are. Are you like a well where you collect water, or are you like a spring where you're connected to the source of the water? And obviously being connected to the source of the water is the greatest way to bring Torah out. However, there's a drawback, he mentions, that if you get disconnected from the Torah, then you'll lose. You're not there. It's like the keys. You don't have the keys. You can't get in. So that's the drawback. So therefore, that's what's concluding with the stories now, on the third paragraph. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Shebegeder Minam is Gaber. He was the type of person who was like the wellspring. Levi Bar Sisi, and Levi Bar Sisi, he was so great in Torah. As their whole wisdom drew forth from the root of wisdom, right at the source. And at the moment where you get ripped away a little bit, removed from that source, they would not answer anything. And they're not like our wise people. That the Torah that we learn makes us smart. Therefore, we don't forget for a moment. A person doesn't lose right away what he acquired from wisdom. But those holy people, when they learn Torah, never, the Torah never made them smart. Ela hashchina midaberes mitoch kronom, but the Shechina is speaking through their throats. V'lachenim l'regala hayu b'dveikas anachona, so if there for a moment he wouldn't have the complete connection to Hashem, kvar lo yado lanus, they don't know how to answer. Shema olam lo sofku l'soch mitzius atzam eis dvarchach, because nothing ever went into them in terms of wisdom to stay. It's just that connection that they have, such a great connection. So these tzaddikim, you see, their whole point is their whole lives they were connected. So they wouldn't lose it unless a situation would cause them to lose it, which would be arrogance. This explains also why we find by Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes he forgot a law. There's a few cases in the Torah he forgot a law. Didn't remember the law. Now, why was that? So if you know, in those cases, there were cases where Moshe got angry. And that's what the Gemara says. If a person gets anger, if you're a chacham, you'll lose your Torah. So what does that mean? How come you lose your Torah? You forget your Torah when you're a chacham. If you're a chacham and you get angry, you lose your Torah. What's the connection? But the answer is the same thing. Anger is a result of arrogance. So Moshe Rabbeinu, if for a second he would get whatever his level of anger was, not anything close to ours, but for a second good anger for him, that would break the connection. And the connection would break and he wouldn't have what to say. Right. And that's you had a few cases. He got angry at Aaron's kids during the Avoda and he made a mistake of what they were supposed to do. Right, you just lose that connection immediately. So it's something that they have such clarity that when they talk, mamish the Shechina, it's Hashem talking to you, because they've refined themselves so much that there's nothing to themselves. It's a very fascinating concept, because like think about it, you know, a great tzaddik can forget a simple halacha that you'll remember. Right, so why is that? Because when we learn and we integrate information, when you integrate that information to a certain degree, that becomes who you are. I'm this person with this amount of information. It's Baruch Hashem, it's Torah information. So that's a good thing to have. But it's already a watered down version of the real thing, because it's the water that's in the well already. Right, it's disconnected from the source to a certain degree. So it's mine. So it's mine. I don't lose. But Moshe never felt the Torah was his. It wasn't his. It was just, you know, I'm just connected to Hashem, and I'm just there. I'm in the treasure house. So as long as I'm in the treasure house, everything's fine. But once you go out of the treasure house, you lose it all. You lose it all. And that already is like, it's like a miracle. It's like, you know, let's make a more contemporary example. Technique a little more contemporary. Hope I'll do it right. You know, a person can get information on your computer. There's different ways to get information, right? So you can download something and it gets on your screen, you know, and you can put it into your whatever hard drive. You save it into the hard drive and it's there. Or you could have all the information from a disk that's put into your computer. All the information. You know, it's like let's say God says, here, I've got all the Torah I want to share with this world. It's on one disc. Right? So what does Hashem do? So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's mamish amir. He says, listen, you're the kind of guy I could put there's a room for the disc to go in. Hashem just puts the disc in. As long as that disc is in, he's got access to all the information. Now, if he gets upset, he spits the disc out. And then the information, it's out, it's gone. But he has the equipment to hold on to a disc. As long as he's holding on to that disc, he's got all the information that's in the disc. But once you get a little arrogant, spits out the disc, what's left? You get nothing. You have the ability to hold on to that information. Right, but that's all a gift, because it's in a disc. It's from beyond, as opposed to, you know, we send you an email with some information, and that, you know, when you get an email, you could put it into your hard drive and store it, and a little more you can store. We don't have access to that whole thing, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was so holy, he could just slip the disc in and he get it all. You get upset, the disc slips out, and then you lose it all. Okay, now, Beis. So now he's going to bring us in the Chovas Havavas. I in the Chovas Havavas, look in the Chovas Havavas, Shar Cheshben HaNefesh, the gate of making a spiritual accounting. Cheshben HaEchad VeEsrim, it's number 21, it's 30 tools of making a Cheshben HaNefesh, and this is tool 21. Shemavar Derech Knias HaChochma, he explains the method of acquiring wisdom. So he says, "Mitchila tzarech shishtadel ba kefi yecholto." In the beginning, you have to make the efforts according to your abilities. You got to give it all you got. That's how you start. That's what the Chovas Havavos says. Ulam sof, but at the end, yekabel mehakadosh baruch hu chachma lemala miyecholto vasagoso. At the end, he receives wisdom beyond his ability, beyond his intellectual capacities. The Kosev, and he writes, Shigam Bishara Chachmas Hukain. It could be the same in other types of wisdom. Gon Handosa Iunis. I forget which one this is. I think this is like mechanical geometry or one of these types of terms. You know, or astrology. It's one of those scientific areas. Shebehem shechishtadlo, so that through the continuing efforts a person makes, yesh b'yicholto lematzi be'ezras The more effort you make, you get help beyond yourself that gives you images and concepts beyond, almost like a nevuah. And I'm going to bring all his wondrous words in this haggah, which is a long haggah. But I think it's a worthwhile one. So we're going to go below the line, and we'll read out from the Chovas Havavas. It'll probably take most of the day, but it's a worthwhile Chovas Havavas that we should go through. It's worth it. So we'll look below the line. Let's take a look at what it says in that Chovas Havavas. Kvi Perish of Signon Sefer Lev Tov, who will be writing it in the style of the commentary of the Lev Tov, which is the main Hebrew, more modern Hebrew of the Hebrew translation of the Cheshbon, of the Chovas Havavas. Chovas Havavas was originally written in Arabic. Then it was translated by Ibon Tibon, I think, into Hebrew, but that was a Hebrew from the Middle Evil Ages, and most of us wouldn't understand that Hebrew. So then came a guy this past century who did it in a more contemporary Hebrew, more user-friendly Hebrew, and that's that commentary, the Lev Tov.
From the Middle Evil or
Arabic? I think from the Hebrew. That's what I would imagine. So, he says like this, the cheshbon hanefesh, the spiritual accounting that a person should make for himself, what is the level that he could reach in service of Hashem? Right? You should fear, what is that level you could reach? So start with a level of service Hashem that is within your ability. The Yasik Baba Smoda, and work on it diligently. The Yaruz Vizdares La Soso Achi Tiasala Kergo, and run to it and have alacrity to do it until it becomes your nature. Now, the Achakach, and afterwards, Yishtad Alalas La Dargus Nasafas Baba Hashem Shehain Lamala Miyacholto. Then try to make efforts to reach levels of service Hashem that are beyond your ability. And yearn with all your heart to reach them. And prepare in your mind how to achieve these things that are beyond your grasp. And you should ask from Hashem, daven to Hashem, with your heart and with the depths of inside of you, that Hashem should help you. The Amet says, "Kochol alus the dargo shein lamalam miyachalta," and he should strengthen himself to be ready to rise to levels that are beyond his ability, be idea in knowledge of a mice and in action. Vakasher hu yaseh zos tamid. If you do this constantly, habori yamales bakasher, so Hashem will fulfill your requests. V'yiftach lo eshari this yidiyaso, and will open up gates of his intellect. V'chazek esichla, and will strengthen his intellect. Ves Eforov and his body parts, Lalos Darga Achrei Darga Bekima Mitzvah Shein L'mal Michalto, to levels of mitzvah performances beyond his ability right now. Kamo Shenemers, it says, Ani Hashem Elokecha Malam Decha Lahol Midarchecha B'derech Telech, I am Hashem your Lord, who will teach you successful ways in the way that you wish to go. So he's saying a fundamental point in Avodas Hashem. You know, a person could look at what he wants to be. What do you really want to be? What do you really want to be in Torah? What do you really want to be in Avodas Hashem? What would I want to be? I'd want to be something unbelievable. But you can't be that. You just can't be that. You don't got the tools to be that. So what are you going to do? So you look at what is it that you really can be. And you make every effort to be what you can be. And max out to what your natural talents are. That'll be a job anyway. And when you get to that point, and you say, and that's all I can do. I can't do more than that. You pray to Hashem that he should give you more ability to go more, and you make the effort to go beyond. And he says, you will see, you will be able to go beyond. You'll be able to go beyond. Because once you've accessed everything you got, from that point, you're able to reach further. You know, you're at this point in life. Okay, you'd love to be way over here, but you just can't. It's just not in your ability. But if I can go to this point in life, so at this point, I can already look a little further ahead. It's possible. Once you've achieved a little, it's like, you know, he's going to give you an analogy, but I'll give you an analogy, a simple analogy with weightlifting. Right? You go into the club, you're a mamish, a weakling. You never lifted a weight in your life. And you're young, and you're still young. Okay? At this age, you can't, this wouldn't happen. But you're still young. And you say, you know, I'd like to bench press 500 pounds. 500 pounds. Kleine kite. So, well, okay, let's look at the guy. Okay, you know, if you really worked hard, buddy, you know, we could get you to maybe 150. But you'd have to work for a year and train and this and that, right? So what happens after a year he trains is that he reaches 150. Once he's at 150, he can say, you know what, I think I could try 175. And then he'll work for 6 months until he gets to 175. And then when he's at 175, he could look to 200. But if you don't maximize what you got right now, then how are you ever going to get beyond that? And that's really what locks us out from spiritual development, is because we have these, we'd like to be all the way over here, and when we're here, no matter how hard we try, we're never going to get here. It's not possible. We're not there. Not on the page. But if you accomplish what you can with what you have and get to what you are, then you could always go a little further. And once you're used to success, once you're used to maximizing yourself, you can maximize yourself further. And that's the same with Avodas Hashem. Now he gives you his example. I'll give an example from a person who's trying to learn to do a job or get some wisdom. When you're learning about a job, you only can do part of that job. So based on your understanding. And it's really less than what you can ultimately do. But when the understanding gets stronger, and when he's really diligent on his work, Hashem gives him more understanding to understand the fundamentals of the job, and its principles. He'll be able to come up with ideas and understandings that he's going to develop new concepts that no one even taught him. It just comes. It comes with the ability that's there. When you have a certain ability, new insights are possible now that you're in the ball game. Ideas that you wouldn't have thought could come up came up. Right? That's by work. Right? You know, you've been doing it for a while. You know how to do it well. You figure, you know, there must, you know, there's certain principles must be here. And you figure out the principles, and from the principles, you can go beyond. A similar person is learning wisdom. Again, handasa, I think it's geometry. It's one of those wisdoms. He can't really get to the real deeper geometry, like the deeper levels of math, right? Until you know simple math. Let's do math, you know, it's simpler. You want to teach logarithms. I don't know if you can teach logarithms to a guy who doesn't know how to add, multiply. You can't, you know. Teach square roots to someone who can't divide. It's not possible. You know, square root. Square root of 49 is 7. What's that? Okay, if the guy doesn't know how to divide or multiply, he'll never get square roots. Right? But, you know, okay, what's square root of 49? I sure wish I could do it. Well, I'll try all my best. You're never going to get it. You know, you better learn how to multiply and divide. You multiply and divide, then we can start teaching you square root. Then you can come up with square roots by yourself. Couldn't you? If you know how to multiply and divide and you think a little bit more about it, you could come to square roots on your own. They could. You could figure out the square. It's a logical progression from the person who's mastered multiplication and division. He starts working on multiplying. He says, you know, there's certain numbers keep coming back. You can multiply a number by itself, and you get a certain number. You know, and once you catch that idea, then you can get square roots. right? So that's what. But if you're not involved in multiplication, and you got to be good at multiplication until you know the tables really well, and you go for a long time. So you know, there's certain patterns that are happening whenever you multiply numbers by themselves. You know, and then you could, you know, even come on to understanding logarithms and things like that. But it's a progression. You got to know a certain amount of understanding before you go on to another level of understanding. Right? So he's saying the same thing. Ella humaskil, I think it's geometry. Ella humaskil lamido so esantosa masda de esrim sheshvo. He learns practical geometry through pictures. Kamo shesider oso euclidus. Like Euclid wrote in his books, right? That was geometry, no? Euclidean geometry, isn't that what it is, right?
Yes.
But I can remember. So again, you show your triangles, and you show your squares, and hypotenuses, and whatever. All right, so you get that. Then I guess there's deeper, real deeper stuff, like the more abstract geometry. Right? How am I going to get to the abstract geometry? Well, first I got to know the practical geometry before I can get to abstract geometry. Because you're maybe in creative as andasa, you know the practical geometry. And he really wants to get to the newer ideas, the deeper ideas. So it's a very no simple das. He'll give him the understanding of the deeper levels of geometry. And he uses that base. From that base, he strengthens himself to know it more generally. Until he comes up with all kinds of new ideas, so to speak. It's almost like a prophecy. He gets into deeper realms. Right, so that's the idea. That's what he does with other wisdoms. When a person really works hard and diligently on his studies, he finds within himself a higher level of spirit that nobody can give it to him. Can't even give it to the guy. It comes from itself, from that level of information and understanding you have. On the next page, therefore, rabbis say, Chacham Adif Menavi. A Chacham is stronger than a prophet. Ve'alihu Omer, and Elihu said, it's a spirit within man, and it's the soul of Hashem gives him understanding. Hashem gives understanding to the soul. So similar to this, my brothers, you should understand. Now what's the main goal, the purpose of mitzvahs that your body has to do? What's the main reason, what's the goal of doing practical physical mitzvahs? It's to arouse the fulfillment of mitzvahs that are in your heart. Because that's really the fundamental point that everything's built on. It's the root of all the Torah. It's what's inside. As it says in the Torah, you should fear Hashem and serve Him. See, first fear. Fear is on the inside. Service is on the outside. So all Avodas Hashem is really based on what's inside your heart. V'nemar says, Kikar v'alecha davar ma'od b'fichol b'lavcha la'asoso. It's this thing is very close in your mouth and in your heart in order to do it. V'nemar says, Mo Hashem alokecha shol memcha. Last week's parsha. What is it Hashem wants from you? Kim li'yiras Hashem alecha, but to fear Hashem. So that's the beginning. The beginning of the basis, the fundamentals of serving Hashem is what's inside you. Right? But a lot of times we don't reach that level first. First we're just doing the mitzvahs. We're just putting on tefillin, doing the externals. But that goal is to arouse the internals. And that's really the basis of what everything's supposed to come from. And the truth of the matter is, the fulfillment of mitzvahs that are upon the heart and what's inside is really beyond a person's natural ability. You really can't fulfill them until he removes his animalistic drives. His multiple animalistic drives. Until you conquer your nature, and you rein in your movements. That's the only way that you can do that. Therefore, Hashem gives you physical mitzvahs that you can do. And through that, you can do those easier. Then you could do the mitzvahs upon the heart; they become easier to do. Very interesting. In other words, what's the real point of being a Jew? The real point isn't just putting on tefillin and making brachos and not taking revenge and all that kind of stuff. All that is to arouse what's inside of you. What you're supposed to develop is a tremendous love for Hashem, a tremendous connection to Hashem. That's really what Yiddishkeit's all about. Yiddishkeit is, I feel inside of me this tremendous desire, and the only thing I want in my life is to be close to Hashem. And I love Hashem, and I'm in awe of Hashem, and I'm always thinking of Hashem. Right? And that's everything in my life. That is the ultimate goal, and that's all inside. That's all coming from in here. Right? And, you know, just tell that to a person. They can't do it. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it because there's too many things I want in my life. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, I want everything. I got all these drives. You can't want Hashem that much if you want so many other things. And you just can't. Go to a secular person and tell them, you know, love God. You're crazy. I love everything else but God. And I should give it all up for God? Right? That's the way it is. So how are you going to do that? The problem is, we're wild, uncontrolled animals. Yeah, we're sophisticated animals. Very sophisticated. You know, animals don't have palm pilots. But you know, it's all, you know, they don't have cars. But we're sophisticated animals. So because we're sophisticated and rational animals, it controls us. There's no room for the love of Hashem in our lives. So what do? The mitzvahs, when we do mitzvahs, what we're doing is we are controlling the beast. Those mitzvahs are slowly training us to not act like an animal. Right? What would the animal you like to do? Well, not get up early in the morning. That's for sure. Lie around, finally get up, have breakfast in bed, you know, and just have fun all day long. Right? That's what you want to do all day, right? That's what the animal wants, right? Yeah, guess what? You're an observant Jew. 5:45, you got to get out of bed. Right? And you train yourself, you know, to daven. You're forcing yourself to not be an animal. You're being trained. This is, you do this at this time. You do this at this time. You do this. You do that. You do this. You do that. You do this. You do that. You do that. And the more you're doing those things, the less time it is for you to act like an animal. And the less time you have to act like an animal, then you could start thinking differently as well. When you act, and that's what the rabbis say, the outward activities impact on the inner person. Right? Now, of course, you have to start giving thought to what you're doing. You know, you have to first do, and then you're doing, then you start thinking of what you're doing and why you're doing, and then the thinking gets stronger and gets stronger and gets stronger, and as you think more and more and more, then you begin to start thinking of Hashem. You know, once you've bridled the animal part of you, now you can let the neshama come out. You could let the brain come out. You could really think, and you could really want Hashem. Right? You know, and that's no different than the institution of marriage. Institution of marriage is similar to that. You know, I mean, the ultimate goal of marriage, right, is that you only think about this woman, and everything you do is for this woman, for this man. That's all you're doing. So how's that going to happen unless you have certain responsibilities to that person? Yeah, can you imagine institution of marriage? Part of marriage means you don't have to have fidelity to that person. You could be with everyone all the time anyway. So how are you ever going to develop? How are you ever going to feel for that person? So there's certain rules. You're off limit. Everybody else is off limits, right? And there's certain things you have to do for that person. So it trains you to get focused on that one person. Once you're trained to be focused on that person, then you can begin to love that person. You know, in ways that you will never. That's why people say, "Oh, I'm in love." You can't be in love with a person that you haven't spent a lot of effort on that person. You know, you're doing things for that person. The more you're doing for that person, the more you're feeling for that person, then the feelings can come out. It's the same thing. And these are things initially are way beyond your ability. Right? Same thing, Avodas Hashem is beyond, to have it in your heart is way beyond your ability when you start off. It can only happen only if you do and do and do and do and get the animal out of you. When you get the animal out of you, then you can get to those deeper levels of the duties of the heart. Right? Okay. And when the person now makes great efforts to fulfill the mitzvahs in his heart also, and is able to do them to the best of his ability, then Hashem will open up new levels of spirituality. And then he'll reach levels that are beyond his ability. Kach, to the point, to the point where he serves Hashem outwardly and inwardly. My heart and my flesh sings out to the living God. That's what David HaMelech said. And they gave a parable. Lema over Hashem doma. What do you compare a servant of Hashem to? La'adam shenata eitzim, to a person who plants trees, kidei lahanos achrech meperseim, in order to enjoy the fruits afterwards. Im adam ze oker tchila es ha'asevim ha'roim misaviv l'shrosh ha'eitzim. If the person will pull out the bad weeds that are surrounding the roots of the tree, u'menak es ha'adama, and he works over the land, u'motzim en es ha'kotzim, he takes out the thorns, v'es ha'vem, and the other weeds, u'mashk es ha'eitzim, and he waters the trees, bismana darsh, when it's supposed to be watered. Mazabo, so he fertilizes them. Hu yachol lakavas acher kach Elokim yisbarach. Then he can pray to Hashem. Shatzmiach lo mea eitzim paris. That fruit should come out of it. Then you can pray to Hashem, the fruit should come. Can you imagine? You put a seed in the ground, cover it up, do nothing, and expect to get a fruits. You're not going to get any fruits. You know, how can you get fruits? Do everything that's possible to do. Get rid of the weeds. Water it. Prune it. This, that. Do everything you can do. Then you pray to Hashem. Hashem, can I have some fruits, please? And then he can give you what's beyond what you can do. You can't get a fruit directly out of the earth. Can you get a fruit right out of the earth? Just, I want an orange to pop out of the ground. No. But you can do what you can do is to build a tree. You can build a tree. If you build a tree, maybe we could have some fruits. Right? A fruit to come out of the ground is impossible. Fruit can come out of a tree. So what do you got to do? Go make the tree. When you make the tree, then you can get the fruits. But what do you want? I want the fruits now. I want tomorrow to pull an orange out of the ground. You can't. Sorry. Why not? That's the way life is. What can you? You could plant a tree. Oh, really? Yeah, you plant a tree. Make every effort to make the best tree you can. Once you got a really good tree, you pray to Hashem, and guess what? This is what's going to happen. You're going to have a fruit coming out of the branches. It's exactly what a person is. It's exactly what a person is. You got to build the tree first, and then the fruits are going to come. And that's the ultimate thing that you want. Let me just finish the prayer, then I'll take your question. V'cheinu gam oved Hashem, similar to this with a servant of Hashem, if you make all the efforts to do which is within your ability, then Hashem is able to help with that which is beyond your ability. That's that beautiful, lofty, good, honorable tree, fruit, that Hashem gives to those of His choicest people that He loves in this world. That's what the Chovas HaLevavos has to say. So the main idea of this Chovas HaLevavos is a very fundamental principle in spiritual growth. It's fundamental. We've said it so many times. A person is capable of reaching beyond what he presently sees himself capable of doing. It's possible. The only way you get that is doing everything you can to reach what you can reach. If you reach everything that you can reach, then all of a sudden, new vistas and horizons become possible. But only if you reach everything you can reach. And that, because by nature, by developing that certain new level that you didn't have, but you could get to, it now puts a new level beyond your reach to look for. But it's not so far beyond your reach at this point in time. And that's why you got to take it one step at a time. You got what? I can never be a Talmudic scholar. Good. What can you do? Can you learn how to read Hebrew? Yeah, I can learn how to read Hebrew. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So work all you can to learn how to read Hebrew. Not you can read Hebrew, all of a sudden you have a different sensitivity to everything. It says, you know, now that I could read Hebrew, I could probably learn, you know, I could learn what words mean. Work on that for a while. You know, then you know, I know what words mean. Now, you know, maybe learn some Rambam now. You know, I can learn a little Rambam, learn this. And then you get more information. Also get information. Now you can start thinking of Talmud. All of a sudden, things you couldn't think of till you have that peaked. Now, this is based on a principle. The principle is based that Hashem doesn't give you anything. Doesn't give you anything until you've utilized all the gifts He's given you till now. In other words, whatever you have from Hashem is a gift. Whatever you can do today is a gift from Hashem. So I have the ability to reach X. How do I have that? Hashem gave me that ability, and I can sense. Everyone can sense within themselves what they can do. Something you can do, no? Why? Because I figure that's how good I am. So who made you that good? Hashem made you that good. So now what are you going to go? Hashem, you know, I want you to give me 5 times beyond what I'm able to do, even though I haven't done what I'm able to do yet. So Hashem says, why should I give you the ability to go 5 times when with what I've given you, you haven't used? So Hashem says, if you would use everything I've given you, and then you ask me for more, then I'll give you more. You go to a rich man. Right? Go to a rich man. Say, can I have $10,000? I need it for whatever. I need it to build a small... I need to build a small house. So he gives you the $10,000. And what do? You put it in a drawer. Then you have a kid. And you go to the rich man and say, you know, I need another $5,000. I have to build an addition. Guy says, okay, can you tell me what happened to the first $10,000? It's sitting in a drawer. Guy says, so why should I give you another $5,000 to sit in a drawer? I should give you another $5,000. It's just going to sit in the drawer. Oh, no, I'm going to build it. No, you're not going to build it. I know why you're not going to build it, because you didn't use the first 10 I gave you. Right? So you said, it's not going to happen. So you ask Hashem, I want to be this and that. Hashem says, what about the little thing that you couldn't be, that I gave you the talent for? Well, I didn't do that yet, because I want better. But I'm not going to give you more if you haven't used what I've given you. Right? It only makes sense. I want it all. It means you want it all and no effort, no nothing. It doesn't go that way. The way it goes is that you say, Hashem gave you a certain amount, and you say, and it's more than that. If you don't use what Hashem gives you, you don't appreciate what He gave you to begin with. And then if He's going to give you more, you won't appreciate the more either. So what Hashem does for you, He says, listen, this is what I've given you. If you show me that you've used it all, and you've mamish, you've maxed out on that, and you've done as much as you can, and now you say to me, you know, Hashem, I've done everything I can, but I want to do more for you. I want to be a better Eved Hashem. I want to reach a level that I know that I can't reach. But I've used everything I can. I've done the most I can. I can't do more. And if it's really true, then Hashem says, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more. And that's why a Jew should never say to himself that he can't achieve a certain goal. Because you could achieve whatever Hashem lets you achieve. But you have to be deserving of it. And that's the problem. That's the problem between the person who never really uses the tools God gives him and the frustration he feels of never succeeding. Because most of the times you don't succeed is because you never really tried hard enough. A person who tries hard enough at achievable goals will always reach those goals. And if you don't, it's only because you're not trying hard enough. And what happens is you try for bigger goals. You have bigger visions, but you haven't even reached the smaller visions. And that's why people don't succeed. You find this in every aspect of life. And most specifically in children. Most specifically in children. Why people, you know, are scared to have big families. are scared to have big families. Why? Because they say, I can barely manage the two that I got. How dare I want another one? You know, we have the two. We can't manage more. We can't manage more. Can't afford more. So we're not going to have more kids. So this is a very foolish answer. I mean, who gave you the first two? Who gave you the first two? Who gave you the ability to support the first two? Do you think you did anything? You tried a little bit, okay, but without the ability, you couldn't get hold on any job, and you couldn't bring any kids in the world. So God helped you with the first two. He provided you with the first two. And that's all He gave you, because that's all you've asked for. God only gives you the strength and the talent for what you want. So you wanted two kids. He gave you the strength for two kids. Now you try to dream, what does it mean to have a third kid? You say, that's impossible. It's impossible. There's only two of us. Who's going to watch the third one? The answer is Taka. Taka, right now, for you to do it today, it would be impossible. You could not take care of a third kid. You couldn't. You'd fail. But the difference is you didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. All of a sudden you say, you know, we know the Ratzon of Hashem was you should have more kids. That's the Ratzon of Hashem. If that's the Ratzon of Hashem, then I got to do what the Ratzon is. So I got to ask for it, and I got to do what I can. All of a sudden, you'll find a very surprising thing. You have the third kid, and you don't know how, you don't know why, but all of a sudden, you could take care of three kids. All of a sudden, the wife is a little more clever. She figured it out, how you can carry two babies at one time. And she figured, you know, even the oldest, that's only three, can take care of the little baby a little bit, just enough that I can manage to make dinner. And then guess what? The husband gets a promotion at work. You know, but if you only wanted two, then you don't have the strength for three. And then you say, four? Are you crazy? Is it crazy? So, just try. Try to have the next one, and you'll see. Hashem will give you a further strength that you don't have. Right? And that's the miracle. That's the miracle of having, Baruch Hashem, a big family. And at the end of the day, you know it wasn't you. You know it was Hashem, but you kept asking, listen, I'm doing it for you, Hashem. I'm doing it for you, Hashem. And all of a sudden, there are kochos. But if you don't have four, you'll never have the ability to take care of five. So when you're at one, you say, I can never do five. You're right. You can't do five. You can't do five till you maximize what you could do. And then you beg Hashem for more, and He'll give you more every time. There's no such thing as He won't give you more. Because He can give you more. So these things, so why didn't He give me five when I have one? Because He says, because you haven't used what I gave you the ability to have. So why should I give you more? Why should I give you more strength if you don't need it? How do I know you need it? Go get pregnant. You'll prove to me you need it. This defies logic, but it works every time. And the only time you can know it is if you try it. And when you try it and you see it works once and twice and three times, you know, this is a good thing. And it always happens. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue. Sherry, Mirtz Hashem, get your question tomorrow. Okay, won't forget about it. We'll finish that chapter and do one more chapter, Mirtz Hashem.